Did they hear you, Bhante? Your mic was on.
I switched on, so I am making the invitation again. Before going to the traditional topic, if you have anything to be presented, interview reports or any topics or any comments or any immediate thing, we can take a few minutes.
Excuse me, Bhante, I would like
to... Answer, Bhante.
1 minute, Kumar. Eh?
Yeah.
Just wait.
Mahatero, I just wanted to thank you and Chandratana Bhante and Vishwu Vishwa Parami and everybody that have helped me. I went on my medical visit yesterday to get my visa renewal, and I realize how much help, so much help with Vishwa Parami is doing so much to renew my visa each year, and Chandratana Bhante and you and the Nisarana Vanya office, and I just want to deeply thank you and everybody for helping me to practice in Sri Lanka in this deep, great heritage of Buddhist wisdom and daily life practice. And I am really moved by this opportunity and hope to continue on and someday reach nirvana. And everybody, I wish this for you as well. Thank you very much, Swami Nansa.
Good, because to create a reputation is very difficult. It's gathering the momentum slowly. By presenting people like you for help, only we are developing our relationships. So Venerable Chandratana is doing a good job in maintaining the relationship with the institute. Whenever the institute go upset, we can understand how cumbersome. So to get the institute aligned with is very difficult because everyone suspect others. Only the trust depends. That trust is person to person. So we have to go through the channel, then everything is frictionless. But if you go wrong way, everything, they're asking cross questions and asking this facility, this come again and again. So we're happy to hear your positive comments early in the morning.
Yes, Swami Nansa. I'm really impressed by all the work that goes into this and seeing how Vishwa Parami Trust has, how great their work is. They made sure that I got to the appointment yesterday. And so I'm just really blown away by how wonderful everybody is in supporting foreign monks such as myself to continue on this practice. So okay. Thank you.
Kumara, now it's your time.
Yes, Bhante. Actually, I wanted to tell that there is no report from this side.
Good. Thank you. So then we can start with the point where we stopped last time. Then accordingly, I will invite Venerable Buddha Rakita, our Irish friend, to present the topics and his comments, please.
So we will move to the next question presented by the Buddha to Mahatero Sariputta. So the Buddha asks Sariputta a question, and then I'll jump from this question then to Sariputta's answers before we try to outshine Sariputta. That wouldn't be good. So the Buddha asks, what ways of speech should he adopt? On what resorts here should he rely? What should be the good behavior and observances of a bhikkhu who is resolute? So Mahasariputta replies, he should not commit theft or speak falsely. He should suffuse the frail and firm with loving kindness. If he should recognize any blemish of the mind, he should dispel it as a fraction of the dark one. So it's interesting that speech is The earlier phase of the sutta was the Buddha was asking what kind of conditions, causes and conditions are supportive for a bhikkhu. And now we get into the more personal practices, the sila, and we start with speech. And one of the commentaries mentioned that of the five sila, of the five sila, which one was the one that the Buddha never broke in his rebirths prior? So it is said that he did not speak falsely, was the sila that the Bodhisattva Buddha never broke. So again, we start here with he should not commit theft or speak falsely. So there's a tremendous importance on speaking truth, and that the mind and speech are very correlated. So if we can manage our speech well, we're also managing our mind well. And not speaking falsely is the emphasis here, not on lying. So the other kinds of speech are like divisive speech, harsh speech, and then also like trash-talking people. So this is very important. He should not commit theft or speak falsely. So the many, many kinds of theft. There is theft of, somebody's goods. There's theft of people's properties. But we also have to think about, as a monk, that we are worthy of whatever we receive. So there's a kind of a theft of the robes if you are not willing to stick within the strictures. But generally speaking, the Buddha here is just, even Sariputta is speaking quite plain that it just means theft. Theft is theft. So he should suffuse the frail and firm with loving kindness. So whatever living beings there may be, whether they are weak or strong, they should be suffused with loving kindness. But we can take loving kindness as the first in the list of the four Brahma Vihara. So it also means Karuna or Mudita or Upeka, depending upon the situation. If loving kindness is appropriate, useful and skillful, then loving kindness is to be developed. If compassion is more appropriate, then we can develop compassion, and so on, with loving kindness and mudita, sympathetic joy, and equanimity, upeka. So all beings will fare according to their karma. This is a deep insight of equanimity of mind. So it is also interesting that equanimity is proximate to enlightenment. Equanimity is the characteristic of the highest jhana. So we should understand when the Buddha or Sariputta mention loving kindness, they're mentioning any of the Brahma Vihara. If he should recognize any blemish of the mind, he should dispel it as a fraction of the dark one. So this a faction of the dark one is this kind of personification of Mara and Mara's army, that the defilements are like an enemy. So this is quite a cinematographic way of looking at the defilements themselves, to view them as an enemy, to view them as a member of the enemy's army, and not there for your welfare, happiness, and benefit. So one should dispel and recognize these blemishes. So this blemish is a very deep idea in Buddhism, that there is the goodness of the mind, and then that the mind is being blemished, is being sullied, is being covered over by the defilements, by these factions of the dark one. So we can think about these blemishes, like in this idea becomes very strong in Mahayana Buddhism, the idea of the diamond mind. And it was a teaching that Godwin liked very much, was the diamond mind, and that we were intrinsically good, and that if we just removed these blemishes, then we would reveal the underlining beauty of the diamond mind. I mean, similarly, Michelangelo was being asked about his famous sculpture, the Pieta, and he said that he just revealed the sculpture from the block of stone. He removed the blemishes. So this is, I think, a very helpful consideration to give, that we are intrinsically good, and that we're cultivating the good essentially by weeding away the blemishes. And it's just our duty to defend ourselves from the attack of the dark one, of the evil forces of Mara. So this is kind of a heroic picture that we're giving to the task, this task of recognizing our own inner goodness, our own best self, and removing the blemishes that obscure that relationship with the world and the world with the self, that the self is intrinsically this kind of diamond mind and beautiful, worthy, good person. So again, it's a very deep psychology in that too. If we see ourselves as bad, then we will identify as I am bad, like I am a criminal. Whereas if I see myself as intrinsically good, I am a good person, a kind person, then I can focus on growing and developing those good and kind qualities. So I should recognize those blemishes and make an effort to dispel them as not being me, not being mine, not being self, not being I, that I can remove these blemishes to reveal this underlining good quality. So perhaps you'd... So the first question, it's... what ways of speech should he adopt?
According to the Sinhala book, Buddha Jayanti translation, Sariputta Sutta, Sutta Nipata, page number 300, the last verse, Kyasa Vachana Vyapatoyo Asu Kyasasu Idagocharo Kani Silabhatanasu Pahitattasa Bhikkhuno. Translation is, whenever he is having the zest, the striving force, what kind of words he is having, what are the fodder, what are the eating grounds he is associating, what kind of moral restraint he is having. Am I correct, the translation? That means 3 points, words, gochara, and the seal of Ruta.
Yes, words, good behavior, and good observances.
Yeah, and...
And what resorts he should rely on.
Resorts means gochara. That means his fodder land. And
pasture.
Pasture land.
Domain.
Pasture land, father's domain. So this is the kind of a reconsideration after you became mindful and with the energy, sustainable energy. This is not for the beginner. First and foremost, you have to be virya, the unending or incessant energy. Accordingly, you must earn mindfulness. So once you earn it, you have to reconsider samma vacha, samma kammanta, samma ajiva. In the Noble Eightfold Path, once the brain cleared, when the samma ditti, samma sankappa, correct view and correct thinking pattern happen, you have to reconsider about your wordings, about your livelihood, and about your day-to-day activities, multitasking. That means that reconsideration is not at the beginning. You must never change your lifestyle. You must never change your words. You must never change your behavioral or day-to-day activities, still you can develop virya and sati. That means energy and the mindfulness. So that was the golden idea I got when I was associating the Nilambe, specifically Venerable Dhammika. I was quite inferior, telling that I have done so much of bad things. And I am very lethargic. I mean, energy is available, but lethargic to the education. Lethargic to any kind of thing. Then he told, I am not asking you to change it. Be aware. Just be mindful. Then I told Bhante, how can I be mindful? I don't have sila. I mean, have that observance or moral restraint. No, don't care. You don't have it. This is my photos when I was a young person. This kind of thing I did. So this is the young age. It's not your mistake. It's your age. And then I don't feel like restraining myself. It's okay that you know. But when the mindfulness happens, he told you will get another first chance to think about your wordings, to think about your domain, to think about your the moral restraint. At that time, you are endowed with your basic experiences and Dhamma is there. Good teachers are there, fellow beings. You can reconsider. So it was a good challenge for me. Otherwise, if someone would tell me, you must be have so much of sila, so much of restraint in words, and so much of domain must be restricted, this must be restricted, this was never, you must associate. I was not happy at that time to compromise like that. But the mindfulness gave complete fresh chances, again giving, even today. So that is what the Buddha is asking Venerable Sariputta, kyasa vyapato yo asu kyasa kyasu idagocharo prashabda viri ati, those who have already aroused energy and he is ready to reconsider what must be his words, what way and what must be his domain, father's safety place or gochara pachalayan, and what must be his moral restraint. So it is never ending. Mindfulness give a start, the ending of words, there is no such. We can see the Buddha as the classic example. No one others can do it. We can refine further and further. And your domain, you can depend on the begging bowl and the arms rounds and your robes and kind of thing. But the frugality, no end. And the last thing is silabhata paramasa. That means sila vruta, that your moral restraint, no end. Even if you close your eyes, even if you are going to a silent place, no smelling, no tasting, and even the breath is stopped, still you have to restrain. This is the utmost result of your sila, not the inner chatter also. And my body is calm, verbally calm. Mind also may be calm, but still, samadhi restraint or concentration restraint and the vipassana restraint. The restraints are not ever ending. But with sati, mindfulness give a auspicious start. You must not restrain yourself, you must not be inferior about yourself. You are full of energy. You are a pure energy. You are a pure mind. Externally, there are some rubbish. The grease and rusting. It's a very thin layer. Don't decide by it. Not only you, not only others. We all have the universal unconscious, if I am to quote Carl Jung's idea. Universal unconscious, so we are the same. But the sectarianism is due to the external crust. The Buddha says, Pabhasarami dambikave chitta. Whole life, whole mind is glitterous and pure. And that word has been completely translated with misunderstanding. Pabhasara. They say white mind. No, mind is not white. I would say mind is the source of everything. It's an energy source. That prabhava, not the prabha. And then Pabhasana Minaji, Agantuke Upakkilite Upakkilite. This is the Newton, Isaac Newton told, if anything move in the sky, in the space, everything is straight. It's moving straight. Unless someone come and hit you. If you hit, action, reaction is equal, you change your path. That is, according to Dhamma, Mara come and disturb you. Then only you react. That reaction is bodily reaction. That's called body knowledge. That's not your one. Otherwise, you are going to the straight forward. That's the first law. Second law is, if something hit, you have the equal opposite reaction. And then your path is changed. The Karl Marx told, man is originally good. He was corrupted due to the class differences. The Buddha says, mind is originally good. It's appear-like corrupted because of the outer crux. So everything is the same. I mean, as I mentioned, action, thesis, antithesis, synthesis. That's what you call evolution. So therefore, don't take it personal. You have to take yourself as an example and see how I react. And am I responsible about my reaction? Can I plan the action? I can't. Things are happening. So you have to take the least frictional path and be aware, this is the way the path, this is the way action, this is the reaction, equal and opposite. And then definitely it is making a synthesis. That's a very, very scientific thing. The Upandita said it all, Ayatana Dwara Tadupapanna. I consciousness is our Ayatana. Light come and hit you. That is a reaction. And then Chakku Vinyana is the Tadupapanna, the spark appearing. When the eye and the light waves or shapes are hitting each other, only Chakku Vinyana can happen at that time. Your ear is not functioning, nose is not functioning, tongue is not functioning, body is not functioning, all are dumbfold. But if you do not know, my action is with the eye, it is also because of the light and the shape, and then what is outcome, the spark is Chakku Vinyana. The vinyana becomes chakku vinyana, dwara, arammana, tadupapanna. Action, the thesis, antithesis and synthesis. So these are the things the Arthur Schopenhauer try to put into a frame, like a logical form. If we are not hit with others, we are in the natural, normal shape, just like a turtle inside the shell. When we are open only, we can see the sunlight, the rain and everything, then you have to react or you have to evolve accordingly. So the Buddha is teaching how to tug in. Whenever something happens, don't fight with. Just kumbhova angani sakhe kapale samadaham bhikkhu manovitakke. Whenever something happens, just take in and see your mental reaction. When something happens, rather than what the outside source, everything, because that is indicate who you are. Rather than taken away, taken for a ride by your mental proliferation, just understand what happened to you. Who am I? In front of fire, in front of ice, in front of heat, in front of water, in front of no water, who am I? So that is the point. Whenever action-reaction happens, instead of reacting, even the reaction happens, be aware that is your intrinsic nature. This is not what you did. This is what you supposed to happen whenever it happens. So that is how you can understand who am I. So therefore the Buddha is asking, if you have Araddha Virya, already aroused energy, what must be your words? What must be your postulate? What must be your moral restraint? So it's a universal question. Very, very wide open question. And ask him from the best disciple. Venerable Sariputta is the next best, the runners-up to the Buddha. So we have to expect how Venerable Sariputta is going to show, that is his smartness, So that is what the first stanza. I would like to open the discussion for anyone sharing.
Yeah, I'd just like to mention one more thing. Is this idea about gochara is very critical for you to understand. Is like, what is my domain? I mean, for the international monks and students, a reason to come here is because it's a good domain for the practice. It's a good grazing ground for the practice. Like in my own country, there's no real expertise or depth of history or depth of culture or depth of experience, depth of interest, depth of talent around meditation. Whereas as here in Nisaranamana, there is. So this is a rich domain. It's a rich gochara.
Fertile soil.
It's a very fertile pasture to graze. And then also your object of meditation is also a gochara. It's the domain of your mind. Where do you put your mind? Do you put it into the gochara, into the domain of thievery or business, commerce, other things? Or do you put it into the domain of your meditation object? So this is your fodder. What do you eat? Do you eat mindfulness or do you eat hatefulness? You know, and so this this idea of gochara, your pasture, your domain.
May I disturb you?
Yeah.
So when you are focusing the breath, for example, the gochara, a sound happens. So when the sound happens, if you know you are no more in the breath, now you have an option either to beat the sound, that is distraction, or to come back to the breath. Breath is the gochara, that is your safety land. But your mind is always reacting with the sound happening in the aberrant way, abrasive way. And so you are either reacting or you can come back to the action. So that is the way our vipassana is going to work. In samatha, it says sound should not happen. It must be soundproof. It's the mistake of the meditation hold, not you. So you have to complain to the teacher. But the vipassana, it says, when the sound happens, you get option. If you are already with the aroused energy, you can come back to the breath, because if the sound happens, even the sound distracts, breath never stops. Breath is there. Sound is there. Which one you select? That indicates whether you are evolving or not. At the beginning, definitely you are selecting and already taken away for a ride by the sound. But later, if you have the arousing of the sound and the arising of the unmindful mind or wandering mind, earlier the better. You can see now the sound is inviting you outdoor. The object is inviting your traditional safety land. You can play. That is the way your upliftment happens. Your purification happens. Then sounds have lesser infliction to your meditation. That's what I wanted to share.
Yeah, so similarly, if you have a developed meditation practice like mindfulness, no matter where you go in the world, then you're free, because you've made mindfulness and your object of meditation your gochara. So you're not as dependent on the external world, but initially you are. You need to come to a good place like Nisaranamana. If you have very mature practice, like later on, we'll be traveling internationally, but we'll be minding our own business. You know, this minding your own business is our gochara. What is your business? Where is your domain for your business to happen? And for the meditator, it's the mind.
It's called oasis. When you're in the traveling in the desert, you have to be aware how much you are away from the oasis, how much to the next one. The leader is always thinking about preserving the water in the desert and direct into the oasis. Your destiny is something else. That will clearly remember. But you must go to oasis. Buddha says, Asokang virajang kemang etang mangalamuttamang. Asokang means the point where oasis there, you have comfort, you have water, you have shadow. Virajang, no defilements. And kemang. Kemang means directly oasis. So therefore, in a trouble, you must understand what is your oasis. What is your frictionless path? What is your least frictional avenue? And you must find the shortest cut to your domain at the face of distractions. The untrained person, untrue people, they are always talking and measuring the distraction. Don't follow them. They are utterly misled and misleading people. May be innocent, but you must try to find as much as possible to come back, the, just like a turtle, tug in, inside the shell. Appear like it is you are fearful. Appear like you are not offensive. Appear like you are very sluggish and not giving a fight. But that is the way the Buddha says, sila vrutta. That is the that must be your moral restraint.
So one more thing is that the way Sariputta answers the Buddha is actually, he answers it sila samadhi panya. He says, don't commit theft and speak falsely. Then he moves on to cultivate loving kindness or the Brahma Vihara. And then he says, recognize any blemish, which is mindfulness. And, you know, so look out for these patterns that both the teacher and the student are constantly staying within this gochara, within this domain of sila, samadhi, panya, in their practice, in their life, in their teaching, in what they answer. It's everywhere when you see it. Look for it.
It is you are born with. The gochara is you are born with. But if you are misled, you are seeking, you have to go to India. You have to wait till the next Buddha to happen. Or you have to go to the shrine room. Or you have to go on pilgrims. So this is the way the multinational companies are promoting you. Everything is within. Your breath is within. Your gochara is within. I mean, distractions are there. You must try to find way back home. Those Zen masters, they say, wherever you may be, you are on the way back home. That means so lucky. So that is what we gochara, that is what we try to maintain this atmosphere in the Nisarnavanaya as much as possible. Everyone is a teacher. Everyone is a disciple. Every thought moment is a university. Universal knowledge, and what you hit decide who you are. At the beginning you can't hit the target board. Later when you learn the target board, you have to go to the bullseye. If you know you have the ability to go to the bullseye, next time even if you have hit wrong target, no harm. Because you know your potential, you know your possibility. So that is what we call humanness. Other things are beastly. Other things are reptilian. Other things are conspiracy. But they can't take you out of conspiracy with the conspiracy because you know truth is here, now I am. Very difficult. But you are born with. Good topic.
Thank you, Swaminansa. Thank you, Bhante. Listening to your teachings, it's helping me to, so we have our defiled mind that arises, and if we can, Swaminansa, as you're saying, if we can be vigilant and ready for that, then we can come back, tug in our, like a tortoise, tug in the limbs and be present, be mindful, and then we're not carried away by anger or whatever afflictive mental state arises. The problem that we normally have if we're not mindful is that we get involved with the anger or whatever the afflictive state is. So it seems, what I want to know is how to do that and how to, it's just by being aware and mindful, then we see, oh, just as soon as anger arises, let's say, we know this is anger, and we come back to the breath or come back to the sensations that we may feel, say, heat in the chest, tension in the head, maybe we feel anger. So if we can come back to the present moment of mindfulness, then we're not carried away by believing this anger is me, let's say, but it's just an energy that's arising. So I think this helps me just to reinforce again that mindfulness actually, it seems to be, is just the solution that the Buddha gave was being mindful and present with energy when it arises, and not to be carried away with our thinking mind, is one way, I guess, I would say it.
Mindfulness is the compass.
Compass lets us know where our practice...
Where to notice.
Where to notice.
North.
Note.
At the north, not the south, not the west, the north.
The north, okay.
Yeah. One where the no distraction, it's always north. When the distractions are there, it is moving, but the mindfulness is a compass.
Okay. Yes. Thank you, Swami Nansa.
Any other voice sounds, any other voices?
Thank you, Bhante. As understood, what is said by the Buddha's words and Sariputta's is that we all have in ourselves that nature of Buddha.
Buddha nature.
Buddha Rakita said, your teacher said, diamond mind, that this is all within us. I would like to ask you, what does Buddhism has to say about evil, about sins? Topic that is Mara's army, as mentioned. What does Buddhism has to say about people who are purely evil? Is it the extent of the defiled mind that reaches a state that is so unbalanced that causes this? Is this really still rooted in a Buddha nature? So this is my question. Thank you. So
there is no pure mind. There is no pure evil mind. Always relative. You can't find 100% pure person. You can't find 100% bad person. So don't have that kind of ideologies. Then only you become tense. Your evilness is slowly reducing, purity is increasing slowly. Other person's evilness may be increasing, purity may be reducing. But that difference is insignificant. Insignificant. You are making stories out of that. And make him bad, make him good. I am always in the good side. And then story. You have no rights. Because this is a kind of a script in your mind. So therefore, no good, no bad, pure. We have all gray. So we meditators understand every bad person is having some goodness. Because the world has not recognized it. So that person becomes evil and evil and evil. That's why the school children, many teachers are telling they are very naughty. But when you put into the mindful games, they are the brightest. They come out with new games. Oh, is this the one? We are masters. I can do it and I can assimilate new games also. So therefore, for the classroom education, formal education, he may be naughty boy. Usually boys. Girls are usually not so, but there are. That is because of the education system. That's why the Buddha, whenever he's tackling a bad person, he never teach. He changed the atmosphere. Then a different person. If he's in the same atmosphere, he will be corrupted again and again, developing the tension, frustration. The whole world is such. Education is utterly a mess. It's a bad people are putting more bad. And education is leading people to the prison. Education is leading people to committing suicide. It's given by Sri Lankan National Education, National Institute of Education Director told, present day education is leading children to prison. There are 600 degree holders in the prison. So much of advanced level pass students, so much ordinary level pass students. In the prison, they are opening a university for them to learn. Because present-day education is not human. It's making people for factory robots. So, because they wanted to cut off Russian education. They wanted to cut off communist education. They want to educate only the capitalistic system. That is what you call hidden curriculum. But that is not the best. That may be a good one for the God believers. But the teaching of the Buddha, Buddha says, mind your own business. Be mindful. Yesterday someone told that Bhante, we are in such a hell of a situation. Hell of a situation, what is you think and what is your contribution? And may God protect this institute. Then I told, mindfulness will protect mindful people. I don't know the places and the God. Be mindful. with these bad people, so-called bad people, give a classic example for us, because we also have done the same mistakes. Meanwhile, Jnanananda says, I can't find anyone's mistake which I have not committed by myself. What do you say? You know it, that is why you know it's a mistake, because you have done yourself. When you do, very compassionate, very educationist. When the other people do, he must be killed, he must be given a capital punishment. Who the hell give you the authority? Who is the fellow? I can't remember. He says, no one can impose capital punishment to the other person. The judge has no that much of powers. Hugo, he was fighting against that capital punishment. He says, judge has no rights to kill other person, decide to kill. Judge is giving get the constitution. He says, no. That particular person would have killed the mother or father, never mind. But how can you, being a decent person, to decide to kill? Because we are so unbiased. When others are doing, we are with the punishment and the stick. When we do, very compassionate and very sympathetic and very, very loving kindness. That is what you call the religious masters. Worst lot.
Thank you, Bhante. I would like to ask another question. When said that everyone has a Buddha mind, you mentioned this before, that the question is, if this is the original state of us human beings, how did it so happen that these defilements arose in the first place? How did it happen that from a starting point, so to say, of a clear mind, did this happen that we got deluded?
Well, you don't know. We don't know you have with such a potential. That ignorance is the main culprit. You don't know you have such a birthright. You have such a potential. You have the possibility. You don't know your possibility. You believe your weaknesses. You believe your impossibilities. Because our parents are imposing that. You can't do this, you can't do that, you are not supposed to do this and that. But no one is promoting. You are a human. You have all the powers, Buddha nature. He used Buddha nature. You are already Buddha. Why you need it? Not necessary. You are just catalyzing your good nature and you associate domain, good people. You are going to be with these people. That itself is enough Buddha, 100%. Have you heard about that? Yeah. Buddha says, if you are associating a good people, 100% your difficult task is finished. But who the hell leaving the good people and going to the bar, going to the tavern, going to the gambling, going to the this and that? You bloody fool. Instead of meditating, you are happy to see a football game or cricket. Or war in this country. He's from Israel. Bloody fool. But it is nothing for me, because I am not Israeli. I am not a Muslim. So people try to talk about Muslim and fight, and then I don't feel it. Because my scripts are different. And you see, Sri Lanka, there's a huge argument now. Many people take the Israel side, other people are taking the Muslim side, and they are fighting. They say that sometimes these missiles may come to Sri Lanka, because so much of a debate here. Some people are vehemently telling what the Israel doing is correct. So other people say that attacking Israel is good. So that is according to your mentality. So that is you don't know, you are born here for what? What is your capacity, the possibility and potential? In quantum physics, it says possibility and potential-wise, we all are the same. That's why the Buddha says everyone is sharing the Buddha nature.
Okay, thank you. Understood more. In terms of what you said, associating with good people, when we said before that there are no good people and there are no bad people, there's only
better
great people.
Better people, you can understand.
So what is the definition of good people?
Good people is least frictional path. They are not creating others' problem. They are not interfering other psychologies. Mind their own business. Live under a tree. Live in the forest. Least amount of food. least amount of clothing, least amount of juice. And see how much least I am using? You can see my kuti. Don't laugh. It's always sarcastic.
Pante. When the mind can continue to see the mind, will the concept I will slowly to disappear, and broadly between the human and the nature will be close.
Yeah, that your presentation difficult to understand. That is your question.
I mean, when the mind can continue to look at the mind,
that never possible.
Huh?
Mind can't see. Can a criminal be a Supreme Court judge? No. Mind is the criminal. How can he judge others? Mind can't watch mind. Only the definement can see the so-called mind. M-I-N-D. Mind. So mind means it's just a thought. It's not a mind. It's a proliferation. Camouflage, your ego. Mind can't see mind. When the mind is seeing mind, it is no more a mind. That's called capital M mind, not the simple M mind. They have in the literature capital M mind. It is not doing anything. It is not seeing, it's just being. When something is looking, it's a defilement of the mind. It's an ego. It is a kind of a proliferation. It's a concept. You think you can use it, see yourself. Here, China. Can this end of the finger, can touch the end of the finger? Yeah, that is not you are touching the end of the finger. You see the base of the finger. Touch the end of the finger by end of the finger. No, that is, I should have another one. And that's a diamond sutra. It says, if you make a diamond sword, you can't cut the cutting edge of the diamond sword by itself. Diamond sutra? Vajracchedaka sutra? Yeah, it can't cut its edge. Mind can't see mind. That's a proliferation, that's a thought, that's a imagination, that's a hallucination. But that is why you are asked not to see the mind, just to see the breath, just to see the corporeality, just to see the feeling. That mind can do. Once that is done, then mind is somewhat pure. You can see defiled mind. Mind can see defiled mind. Agitated mind or congealed mind. Loveful mind and hateful mind. These are not mind, these are mind states. Beforehand, you have to do Kayanupassana, Vedananupassana. So many people don't appreciate it. They start with Vedananupassana, they start with Chittanupassana, they start with Dhammanupassana. I mean, okay, if the basics are done. With the basics are done or not, his or her valuation, I keep silence. Simply, I don't believe. Because criminal cannot be a judge. Or finger, tip of the finger cannot touch itself.
Can I add more, Pandya? So the mind just, look at the mind, just the ego stop. Just like the mind, when you mindfully, your ego is stopped. Just like that.
So that happened according to the Buddha's gradual training. First you have to see the kayanupassana, the corporeality. You have to see the one thing touchable, what is it? Verifiable. Then mind can understand, I can see breath, the beginning, the middle and the end of the breath. I can see the left leg, right leg, because then mind has a task. It is outside. It's a corporeality. When that is become expert, you can see when the breath see, I have happiness. If I can't see the breath, I have sorrow. I have unhappy. When I can see the left and the right, I'm very happy. But if I can't see it, even with the effort, I'm not happy. Then you can see feelings. It is another step of the corporeality. Then only you can see more than the matter, mind create happiness and unhappiness. by its own proliferation, that is the main function of the mind, misleading you. So therefore people are talking about look at the mind, because that is what you call philosophy. We are not looking at the material. It is a Montessori, that anyone can do it. That is just science. And then the feeling is somewhat advanced, but why can't you see the mind with mind? I mean, if it is possible, you do it. If you have the past medicine, kind, you may. But that is not general answer, instructions. The Buddha says, Mahasi Sayadaw had taken enough time to say, first start with Kayanupassana. That's a Montessori, and then only you can train mind, not the moral training. This is a concentration training. And then only mindset against mind. After purifying Kayanupassana, Vedananupassana, then Chittanupassana, possible, and not only possible, you have to do. So this part, today people try to become more smart, and they try to start with Chittanupassana. They can do it, no harm, it is not a crime. But I keep my mouth shut. Upanishad side is the best. He gives that kind of thing. He's little arrogant and offensive. It is, you have to get out of the mud first, and then only you can save others. Likewise, the mind is a mud. Get out of that by the Kayanupassana and Vedana. It's Montessori. It's selfish. It is away from the society. You are going to the forest. It is like conditioning. Yes, yes, yes. It's conditioning. Then only mind, you can set the thief against the thief. The mic, you can pass the mic.
So again, coming back to this line here, he should recognize any blemish of the mind, he should dispel it as a faction of the dark one. It's don't get mistaken in the metaphor where he says it's like a member of the army of Mara. There is no dark one. There are no bad people. There's just bad behaviors.
There's no 100% mistake. There's no evil.
There's good behavior or bad behavior, or skillful or unskillful. Sometimes I like to take that good and bad have this moral valence to it, and it makes it difficult. So there's skillful and unskillful. And even in the end, we put aside the skillful and the unskillful. You know, when you cross the river, you don't carry the raft on your head like a trophy. You leave it behind, you know. So, of course, the emphasis is on the path. It's on the steps. So when you know how to take a step, then a journey is just 10,000 steps more forward. But when you get to your destination, you stop stepping. As such, you don't need to step any further.
In Burma, it is at the end of the path, you are at the village.
Yeah.
So. To finish, path is finished. Aishwindu.
Yeah, so we cultivate good behaviors, or skillful, wholesome, useful, beneficial behaviors. And, you know, that there are those behaviors in other people. So we can learn how not to do. You know, so some people are not our friends, but they are our teachers. You know, they teach us how not to do. Ajahn Brahm calls them the teachers from hell. Yeah. You know, we'd all like to have the saintly teacher who's perfect, and oh, that's great. But you can look at somebody who's a complete con artist and say, oh my gosh, you know, that's I can learn a lot from that guy. You know, sometimes it's very strange how the mind and what the mind learns from. You can have a crowd of people looking at somebody, admiring them. And somebody else is looking at them going, oh my God, this guy is such a con artist. You know, and, you know, you go to the magician, the conjurer, and most of the crowd are caught in the conjurer's illusions. And there's the one person who's looking, oh, I saw how he did that. And he's learning. He's learning the mechanics. He's learning the physics of the trick. And everybody else, they don't see the mechanics, they don't see the physics, they only see the illusion of the trick.
So this book is on the magic of the mind, exactly the same simile. Yeah. So very, very contradictory kind of a thing. No one has talked about the sutta. No one can give the interpretation. And it took long time for people to give a normal the commentaries. When Jnanananda gave, and that has been translated to Sinhala, just last hour we were discussing about that, how the trick of the mind, magic of the mind.
Yeah. So it is a even Mara, even the person in the suttas who was in conflict with the Buddha as such and trying to block the Buddha, the Buddha himself said, "Oh, that this Mara will become a Buddha in time. He will become a Pachaka Buddha, a silent Buddha. So he will eventually overcome his defilements and become enlightened. It will take a long time." If you're that deluded, so like our challenge is to just cultivate the good behaviors and to weed out the bad behaviors. And this is this cultivation. Bhavana means to cultivate. It doesn't mean to meditate. It means to cultivate.
The first Jataka story, Appannaka Jataka, is a quite contradictory one. You know Jataka stories. We have 545 Jataka stories, Buddha's previous lives. And first one is Appannaka Jataka, the rivalry and the Buddha, both of them are merchants having a caravans in the desert. So they are coming from the same city. The rivalry is waiting to see what the Buddha's plan, when he's going to set. So he knows he is the Buddha to be, and he is very conscious. And the other person is waiting to take the advantage of the same thing by taking the first chance. The Buddha won't give any information. Just wait. 500 carts, 500 caravans. Then he decides to go first. He decides, because my cows can have the fresh wheat and grass and the fresh market and everything, he decided and took enough water. They are crossing the desert. And while desert happening, the desert, even the soul, how do you call Mara, not the Yakha, or spirit, demons, came like full wet suit. And telling that, don't you know that in nearby there's a huge lake? Why you are carrying water? Throw away unwanted pressure for the cows. You see, I can share with you water lilies and all the kind of thing. The leader camouflaged. And he never stopped throwing away of water. And after a while, they lost everything. No water. Everyone died. That spirit came and eaten all the humans and the cows. And the Buddha is coming later, then he can see whole caravan is finished. And the same spirit come at the same place. Buddha says, don't listen to someone. He do not know the camouflage, the havoc is in front. Don't listen, just remember the early instructions I have given. So people were telling that our leader is foolish because we can throw away water, unwantedly taking water. But they were afraid not to take a decision. And after a while, they see huge skeletons of the cows and the caravans full of treasure. And everyone died. Then the Buddha told, you see that particular person came with the wet suit and wet lilies and everything. You are lucky you have not thrown away the water. This is the desert. There are a lot of that kind of spirits. Now the pirates we have in the water, in the sea pirates. Exactly the same. Then Buddha says, don't arrive at a decision about the rivalry's action. You must be ever prepared, be ready for anything. That is Appannaka Patipada. Even the rivalry, what they do, we are learning. We get his treasure. We learn because even the spirit comes and says, throw away water, listen to the teacher, listen to the leader. And then Appannaka Sutta in Majjhima Nikaya and Appannaka Sangyutta, huge collection of suttas, don't arrive at a decision is good or bad. Just wait till the performance happens. Then be vigilant and diligent, take a decision. Otherwise, you are being trapped. You are being calculated. no one can calculate when the mind is becoming vipassana. It is impromptu. It is improvisation. That's what we are learning in scouting. Anything happen, don't predict. Don't get tension. He is a bad person. I must be taken care about him. He is a good person. I must hug him. No. Let them perform and choicelessly be aware. And then your body knowledge is still there. Much body knowledge is much fresh if you have not preconceived ideas. Premeditated ideas, that's what the vipassana is. Because you are already enlightened, don't meditate. Just be aware, just be vigilant, just be diligent. Then the fresh knowledge can come on. Otherwise you are thinking and doing, that is always second hand. Okay, we are going to stop if there are no any other comments. Thank you very much. I hope we had a successful discussion. Thank you, everyone.